Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey man, it is good to have you on a Friday. And Mike Bell, we got a lot to chop up. I just wanted to be sure that I heard Randy correctly, because the Dogs are going to have to overcome some more adversity, as we got word last night that Trevor Etienne is not going to be playing on Saturday. Mike, this is a top 10 matchup.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about it ad nauseum all week long. But now I'm starting to believe, like, all these chips that are stacked against the Dogs, is it good or bad? Because you say, hey, yeah, they can handle it and they're going to be fine. Guys, they got physically beat up last week up front against Ole Miss. And I got to tell you, Tennessee is not any fluke. They're as good up front as Ole Miss is, maybe better. And I'm starting to say to myself, no Trevor Etienne, Mike, or Trevor Etienne, Mike, you've been saying all year, give this kid the ball more, now he's not available.
Yeah, Tennessee's only given up 12.6 points per game, and that is something that, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at. They're only giving up 171 yards passing, and they're holding opponents under 100 yards rushing. And you just laid it out. You know, Kirby's been talking about his offensive line and offensive line woes for much of the season. The thing I will say is, Nico Iamaleava has not been exactly burning up the world after, you know, kind of he's going to be the next big thing, Carl, and their offense is rather pedestrian. So ironically, Tennessee for years, it was, wow, that's a high-powered offense. Now you're like, they're more known, their calling cards more about defense maybe this year.
Yeah, and Dog fans, I said this yesterday, I want to hear from you. 404-726-0929. We don't do this a whole lot, but we're at a crossroads right now. This is win or go home, basically on Saturday for the Dogs. And we haven't been here in a long time. It's been win, 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 win. How do we win more? Win, win, win. Chips, chips, chips. Now you're at a point in the season where you got to take a deep breath. You got to find a way to overcome all of this stuff. And I'm not telling you they can't. I'm just telling you I hadn't seen the Dogs in a position like this, Mike, where your quarterback is mistake prone. You're getting beat up front. You're running game with your running backs. Guys, Roderick Robinson out. Branson Robinson out. Nate Frazier can't hold on to the ball. I mean, Trevor Etienne, now he's out. We haven't been at a place like this where you go, fundamentally, they're making mistakes. And you're going into the biggest game in the season at home on a Saturday night. I am just saying right now, if they are able to do this, and Kirby shows you what he's made of, and he's done it time and time again, Mike, this may be his best coaching job yet, because all the things are not in his favor for the first time in a very long time.
That's a good way to put it. I will say this. I know some fans out there are going to go, no! You may win this game on the shoulders of Carson Beck. Carson Beck's going to have to step up because, you know, Bobo, with all those things you just talked about with the running game, I know you're going to try to establish what you can with the running game. Frazier's got to hold on to it. Should be dry in Athens on Saturday night, if that's the excuse from Ole Miss. But, you know, Carson Beck, you know, as Danny Cannell said, you said it last week, look, gunslinger's got to sling. You cannot put this guy, you know, sort of governors on him, and you're going to ride or die with Carson Beck this game. I know that's a scary proposition for some.
All right, want to grab a few phone calls, Chris. 404-726-0929. It is Dukes and Bell. Of course, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store, guys. We will talk to Brian McFadden. We will dive deep into the Falcons and Broncos game. Remember, Falcon fans, 4:05 kick on Sunday. We're so used to these 1 o'clock kicks, so it's a little later out there out west. Denver's still a 2.5-point favorite at home. We'll dive into that with BMAC, and obviously we'll talk about what else is going on around the NFL. We got to give a big shout-out as we start today, and we'll grab some of your phone calls, because Dog fans, I don't know where you're at. Like, you just think this is supposed to happen because you've been owning Tennessee. This is a different spot. And, again, not telling you it won't happen, but I do think it's going to be challenging for the first time in a long time to just say, oh, we'll just go beat Tennessee and it won't be a problem. Mike, Chris Sale wins comeback player of the year. Congratulations to him. We talked a lot about him during the baseball season, and I just want to mention the Cy Young is going to be announced November 20th. He will be the Cy Young Award winner. But what a story, Mike, for the Braves and for Chris Sale.
Yeah, man, and credit to Alex Anthopoulos. I know sometimes you feel like he is shopping with a Groupon when it comes to starting pitching, and there were a lot of folks out there that said, I'll believe this when I see it. It seems like Sale, maybe he'd gone around the bend and he was not the same guy, and he recaptures, you know, Cy Young. And again, now just waiting on the awards coming up here in a week, but he is a guy that has just been so money for the Braves, and again, credit to Alex Anthopoulos for knowing this guy could get it back together. And now, like I said, the awards, we already said about Snicker, should have been in consideration for manager of the year. Chris Sale's got to be the slam dunk for the Cy Young. Got to be.
Hands
down. I mean, Skeens is a hell of a story, but Sale did it all season.
Agreed. 29 starts, 177 innings. I mean, he was great. 18-3. The numbers speak for themselves. All right, where are you at, Dog fans? Confidence. Where are you at? 404-726-0929. We'll take a few of your phone calls as we get the show started here on a big Friday. Also, as Mike mentioned, you'll hear from Barbara Dooley, who joined us yesterday. She had great stories about Tennessee and the matchup, as we try to give you as much as we can in regards to this matchup on Saturday. And our conversation with Dyson Daniels, Mike, I mean, we both, you know, after that interview yesterday, we kind of looked at each other and went, we got something here, right?
Everybody was going bananas. I was just talking about with Andy and Randy before the final segment there. I mean, guys were hitting us up going, man, this is like my new favorite Hawk. I'm going to go buy the jersey. But more importantly, he brings a mindset, you know, and a mindset, it's not hype. It's true. It's been missing. You know, we've been missing toughness. We've been missing toughness and defense in the half court. And as we said, we thought he was a one-trick pony. Now, this guy can score. So great to see DeAndre Hunter coming back, Trey coming back off that Achilles. And now, as we said, let's build on that win in Boston. You lose to Washington tonight. All that goodwill and everything we talked about the last 3 days goes right out the window.
No doubt about it. As we wait on Dawg fans, and I'm kind of curious right now because I keep waiting for the lines to explode, and that hasn't happened. Are we a little afraid? Are we holding back a little bit? I mean, like, why are you not confident under the circumstances? Randy just said, yes, it may be a close game, but we're going to win the game. 404-726-0929. Let's hear Kirby Smart, Mike, talk about Carson Beck, what he needs to hear in those moments of adversity. If you're not familiar right now, and here's the number, right, going into Saturday at least, this could, of course, change, but you're talking about Beck right now, 12 picks on the season. Here's Kirby Smart.
Well, there's need to hear, and then there's need to reaffirm what's true. You know, what's the actual truth? Because we don't deal in narratives and themes and what people say and social media fodder and what you guys think. We deal in truths. And the truth is what we usually say, tell them. You know, like, that's a good decision. That's a poor decision. That's a good drop. That's a bad drop. That's a good protection of the ball. If you're going to take a sack, that's a poor protection of the ball. We deal in truths, and we don't go much past that.
Yeah, I don't
truths.
Think you can. Well, you always talk about elite. He hasn't been elite this season. But I think you have to deal in truth. Like, they're not going to lie to the kid, right? I mean, they're not going to be like, hey, I know you threw three picks in the game and we overcame it, but you were great. Like, they're not. That's not Kirby Smart.
Nah, it's just such a strange season this year. There's been so many elements of this Georgia team. Like, you know, ETN, star-crossed season for ETN. You know, has the off-field stuff suspended for the whatever that was for the first game against Clemson, and then some injuries. And just, I thought ETN was going to be the guy taking pressure off Carson Beck, you know, trying to make up for Brock Bauer. At the end of the day, Carson Beck has got to play better. There's no excuse for this. And Bobo's got to straighten this thing out. You know, it's one thing to try to straighten out a kicker like Younghoe Koo. You've got to get things cooking when it comes to Carson Beck. I mean, there's no logical reason for him to be this bad, other than all the conversation we had this week, the wide receiver core doesn't help him, isn't as good. And, you know, he still makes some really tough decisions and bad ones early in the game, which puts you behind the eight ball. Can't do that here for the reasons you just laid out about Tennessee.
All right, speaking of Koo, Mike, I got to tell you a story about what happened last night. And your name was invoked. I will bring that up later in the show. Let's talk to Nick in Cartersville. I really thought, and I'm being serious here, Atlanta, Georgia, that most of you would be like, of course, this is fine. We're going to be fine. I feel the hesitation. Nick in Cartersville, how are you feeling about Saturday with the Dogs heading into this Tennessee game? Hey, man.
I feel very good. The crowd is going to be insane, and this is also the same Tennessee that lost to Arkansas. So I feel great about it.
All right. Like opponents. Appreciate it, Nick. Tennessee and Georgia, right? They both played Bama. Tennessee won. Georgia lost. They both played Miss State. Tennessee had a dominant win, 33-14. Georgia, 41-31. We all said, why and how in the hell is Miss State scoring 31 on you? Right. Florida, they both beat. But Tennessee had to do it in overtime. Fact of the matter is, everybody that they've played, Tennessee has beaten like opponents, not who they've lost to. Georgia and Tennessee have played basically four teams, Mike, this season, and Tennessee's won all this. Obviously, Georgia loses to Alabama, and we just talked about what else happened. Okay, let me see what Eric is saying here in Stockbridge. Eric, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Dukes and Bell. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, man.
All I have to say is Georgia should play like they're the underdog. Mm. Forget about the past. Come out. Have fun. All right? And here's the thing. When was the last time they played a night game?
Right. Been a minute.
That is the beauty of the SEC Forget about the Big Ten. Forget about Oregon and those guys. Forget it. This will be the classic. Watch the ratings on Sunday. I can't wait.
Yeah, listen, I think a lot of people are excited about it. Mike, was it 2 years ago when I think it was Eric Ainge called out the Georgia fans? Remember that?
Right.
When was it? Tell me again. Okay. It was a few years ago. Eric Ainge, former quarterback at Tennessee, called out the Georgia fans and basically said, oh, it's not a tough environment.
Yeah, it's not a tough environment. And then we had that big debate on the radio, and at the time we said, because it isn't. Sanford Stadium has never been a really, let's be honest, if we're honest, one of those intimidating atmospheres like Jordan-Hare when it's cooking, you know, or LSU or certainly Tennessee when they've got it rolling. But that's where I think Georgia fans have since elevated their game. Kirby called them out again. I was at that Arkansas game. That wasn't, you know, I mean, I should say the mistake game. I thought they were pretty decent. But this one is going to be electric. And as the caller points out, you know, remember the Notre Dame game? Night games at Athens just pop. It's going to be something. Everyone's going to be all tuned up and bring it, man. Let's get it on.
Hey, one more. Jeff, appreciate the phone calls. I'm just wondering where you guys are. Because like we said, don't call Mike and I Monday and be like, I told you guys. Where are you right now heading into Saturday? Jeff in Adairsville, welcome in to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man.
Hey, dog fans should be nervous because my Vols are coming down to take care of business this weekend.
Here we go. feel pretty confident, huh?
Hey, man.
Everybody's focused on Nico, but if you've watched Tennessee this year, Dylan Sampson is the straw that stirs the drink on our offense. And if they're able to run in the rushing game, this is going to be a battle who has the best rushing game, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah.
And Sampson is the leading rusher in the SEC.
He is.
He did good against a great Bama defense also. There's no, like you said, like opponents, unlike in years past, as Mike said a few days ago, this Tennessee team is different this year. And they kind of mirror Georgia because they both teams struggle in the first half offensively. Mm. But in the second half, they pick it up.
And
so, Georgia fans, right. Be nervous because we're coming.
Hey, man, Tennessee's got to win the game. Now, again, 6 years ago, Jobs on that Hail Mary, which Tennessee fans will never forget. But Georgia, it's like they're no slouch either. They're only giving up 111 yards, Carl, on the ground. So hopefully the linebacker core, hopefully, you know, we'll see these guys step up to the plate. We've been talking about Georgia's defense and missing that superstar player. Well, they've got some superstars and even to play like it on Saturday night.
Jeff in Adairsville, thank you, man. Appreciate you guys calling in. More on the Dogs coming up, but we got to talk to our man B-Mac when we come back. Falcons, Broncos, and all the matchups around the National Football League as we'll look ahead to Sunday and beyond. Coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Happy Friday, everybody. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com. Let's talk about what's going to go on this weekend in the National Football League with our man Bryant McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion, and, of course, a CBS NFL analyst. B-Mac, good to have you back on. I want to start with our Falcons, man, because Mike and I have been saying this is a big spot for us. Broncos 5-5. They had special teams issues last week. We had special teams issues last week. And our offense has been sputtering somewhat, right? You talk about what the Saints were able to do. Tell me what you're thinking about this one, man, and how you feel heading into Sunday with the Falcons going on the road.
Man, this is a matchup, big matchup for both teams. To your point, when you look at the playoff picture, guys, especially in the AFC, if you're Denver, I mean, the last two ball games, you squandered away opportunities. Now, against Baltimore, it was a snowball effect. You couldn't get out of the way of the snowball coming downhill. You got blown out. But you saw a better game, better preparation for them against Kansas City. They outplayed the Chiefs. The Chiefs made one more play, made the most defining play, which was blocking that field goal attempt in a makeable field goal position. So for Denver, you've missed on opportunities to try to get back in the winning column, and now you're sitting at 5-5, and there are a lot of teams fighting for playoff spots in the AFC. Now, when you look at Atlanta, the good thing for Atlanta, guys, is that they still have a nice cushion within the division, right? That's a good spot. But now when you look at what happened last week, you know, I tell you guys all the time, when you lose to teams you're supposed to beat, it hurts a little more. The Saints had nothing going for them in a positive way. Remember, we talked about this last Friday. When you fire a coach, granted, you know you're going to see a better effort, but you have to be able to weather the storm against that said team and make the plays you were supposed to make. We didn't see that. So they have the luxury of having that gap of separation within the teams in the division, But you still want to keep your eyes in your rear view on the Buccaneers, because when the Buccaneers return off their bye, they'll be healthier and they have a nice, easy stretch moving forward. So for Atlanta, this is a very intriguing matchup. You see what the odd makers in Vegas are thinking. They're telling us they think the Broncos will win this ballgame because they're the favorites. For Atlanta, make the plays you didn't make last week, play better defensively, protect the quarterback, and to your point, special teams live up to the billing, because the first month and a half of the season, the special teams was something that you were raving about for the Falcons. The last few weeks, we haven't been able to do the same.
I know we spent so much time this week, B, talking about Younghoe Koo because he's been so good for the last couple of years. And, you know, winning close games, now that's another thing we've got to worry about. Hopefully it doesn't come down to that. But the way they stop the run, and they're going to challenge us to run the football effectively. And, you know, Cousins, if we're honest, Cousins did not have a good first half. The offense didn't really play great for another game. We've not put four quarters together. You know, they say you are what you are by this point of the season. So are we just a team that is imperfect and our ceiling is maybe one home playoff game?
I'll say this. The Falcons, and you guys can agree or disagree, they're a good team. But the thing about good teams, they display two football character traits, right? They display good flashes, which is winnable football, and bad flashes, which is losing football. And that's what we're seeing from Atlanta. Last week was a bad flash. They lost. Now it's about getting back on track. That's what defines the Chiefs as an elite-like team, because their two football character traits are great flashes, good flashes. In both cases, it's good enough to win. That's the thing. So for Atlanta, they're a good team. And when you're a good team, yes, you can get into the playoffs. But when you get into the playoffs, you have to be more consistent and straddle on the fence of being more of a great team displaying great flashes, because there lies the opportunity for you to have a significant run. So I'm really intrigued to see how the Falcons bounce back against a really good team in the Denver Broncos, because when you talk about what we did not see last week, you would think those things were emphasized getting ready for the Broncos and knowing how important this game is for both teams. So to answer your question, they're a playoff caliber team. Can they make a deep run? I think that's to be determined. But the most important thing you want to do is give yourself an opportunity to be in the playoffs, because when that happens, anything can happen.
Let me ask you about playing your teammates. Justin Simmons, Mike and I had a chance to talk to him this week. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking with our man, Brian McFadden. The $18 million salary for 2024 was too rich because they had to pay Russ all that money with the dead cap. So they decided to move on from him. I'm talking about the Broncos. And he was like, look, I'm looking forward to playing my teammates. And then Cortland Sullivan came out and said, hey, bro, you see me coming across the middle, just remember we're friends. B-Mac, what's that like when you are playing against guys that you are very familiar with and certainly you have friendships with?
Man, it's different because, you know, when you're playing against your former teammates, 9 times out of 10, you haven't really had an opportunity of tackling them and playing against them in live action. And I know most guys, when they play against their former teammates, they say all the right things. Now it's just the next game. Now it's I'm a professional. This game doesn't mean more than any other game. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's almost like being in a relationship and you get dumped, because that's kind of what happened with Justin. The Broncos said, we don't see your value enough to keep you here, so we're going to allow you to test the waters elsewhere. So they basically dumped him. And whenever you see your ex, guess what? You want to make sure that you're looking your best. You want to make sure your new partner is looking better than your ex. And the best way to have that happen in football terms is to go out and have a great game as an individual, and most importantly, walk out of that stadium with what? The W. The W. So you better believe it's hard for me to not believe that he's not fired up about this game, more so than any other game, because this was a team that said, you know what, you're not good enough for us to keep you in uniform or find a way to make it work. So you know what, we're going to cut ties with you. And when someone cut ties with you or just fire you or dump you, it's never a good feeling. You always want that revenge factor. You always want to have that revenge factor.
It's our man, Brian McFadden, guys. Catch his podcast, All Things Covered. Him and Patrick Peterson, it's money. Joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Last night, man, we saw the Eagles look pretty good. You know, I mean, there's always a possession where Jalen Hurts, you're wondering what the hell was they doing there. Then you see Saquon Barkley just crank it up. I mean, do you feel the Eagles are 100% back, and that's a team which can go make some noise and get back to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think so. They have the the championship like pedigree when you talk about so many key players being to the promised land, which is a Super Bowl. They have that. I'm really loving what I'm seeing from the defense. I know we can talk about Saquon Barkley and how elite he's been when you look at their offense, but what about the defense, guys? The young Bulldogs are now finally living up to the billing in where they were drafted for the Eagles organization. We saw Nolan Smith with a sack last night. N'Kobe Dean has been a pleasant surprise for their defense since taking over as the inside linebacker. You know about Carter. Jordan Davis is doing what he's been doing. They got a lot of young studs playing high-level football for their defense. If they can sustain that type of play, you know their offense is going to do what they've been called to do. So, yes, but the thing is, guys, the NFC is deep this season. The quantity and the quality is hard to overlook in the NFC. So for you, when you look at the NFC, guys, only seven teams get into the playoffs. The NFC North, they have three legit playoff caliber teams. The NFC West, they have at least three, in my opinion. So teams going to be fighting for spots between now until the end of the season. So if you're Philadelphia Eagles, you want to make sure you take care of your business and your division and continue to create separation, because one thing we know about playoffs, when you win your division, you automatically get a bid into the playoffs.
V-Mac is going to be a slobber knocker, as my coach used to say, Sunday in Pittsburgh. Ravens-Steelers. I think this could certainly be a preview to what may be down the road. But right now, you just feel like everything's coming together for the Steelers. And, you know, here come the Ravens that look unstoppable on offense. I don't know which way this goes, but I'll tell you this. I can't wait to see it at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Man, this is the type of ball game where it's played in the back alley. Like, we're going in the back alley. We're going to fight. And whoever can walk out, going to walk out of the alley. These two teams know each other fairly well. So it's not about trying to trick you or out-game plan you. It's about being the tougher team, being tough for longer. That's the thing. You got to play tough for longer in this type of matchup. And I'll say this, Lamar Jackson has been unbelievable. His entire offense has been great, right? But it's something about Lamar when he plays against Pittsburgh, it's almost like Pittsburgh is the kryptonite for him. Mm-hmm. He is Superman, but when it comes to Pittsburgh, he struggles. 1-3 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Four touchdowns, seven interceptions. He's been sacked 20 times in four games against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's not winning football. And it's something about Lamar. When he plays against Pittsburgh, he struggles. Let's see, will those same trends surface in the game on Sunday? But to your point, man, I know we got Kansas City. I know we got Buffalo, two high-level quarterbacks, two respected organizations. But when you have a divisional battle, when the number one spot is at stake, that hits a little different. So let's see how it plays out. But you guys know what side I'm picking. There's only one side, right?
Right on.
There's only one side is the right side. You know what I mean? And I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers. In Russ, I trust. In GPS, I trust. Oh, by the way, GPS is George Pickens' score. I gave him a nickname. I hope he embraced it, by the way. Shouts out to George Pickens. But I'm loving everything that I'm seeing from the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I got to rock and roll with Steeler Nation.
Well, you mentioned it, Brian McFadden. You know, Lamar Jackson's got to exorcise those demons against the Steelers. Speaking of which, they get him in Buffalo. They had him in Buffalo last year, and they couldn't finish him off. How big is this for Josh Allen? You just referenced it. Kansas City, they've been kind of dancing through the raindrops, getting some breaks from the refs, but is Buffalo going to punch him in the mouth?
They can. Now, will they do it? Remains to be seen, because it's like the Kansas City Chiefs, man, forget having 9 lives. They got 12, and they've been using them. You know what I mean? They've been finding ways to win. But I can tell you this much, Josh Allen is not afraid of Kansas City. He's not afraid of Pat Mahomes. Remember last season when Buffalo was trying to find some positivity? They went to Kansas City. They came out with a 3-point win, 20-17. They won that ball game. But when you look at Buffalo, he's going to be shorthanded, Josh Allen. Dalton Kincaid probably is not going to play. Keon Coleman probably is not going to play. So now the others got to step up. Khalil Shakur, Dawson Knox, you know, hopefully Amari Cooper can go. Curtis Samuel, James Cook, because James Cook was the best receiver from them in last year's game. You know, he had around 5 receptions for over 80 yards and a touchdown. So So other guys got to step up when you look at the pass-catching position for the Buffalo Bills. But if Buffalo is going to win this game, I'm going to give you a cool nugget right now. They got to outrush Kansas City. That has to happen. Secondly, you have to exploit the left side of that offensive line for Kansas City. And the reason why Buffalo has to exploit it, because every other team that has played against Kansas City, especially the Denver Broncos, they have won that battle putting pressure on Pat Mahomes from the left side. The left side has been vulnerable, it's been inconsistent, and they have put bad tape out for other teams to dissect. So if you're Buffalo, A.J. Epineza, Greg Russo, the two guys who lead the team in sacks, they got to show up big time to be able to make life miserable or a bit uncomfortable for Money Pat Mahomes. But I said a lot just then, and I'm going to say something that's very, very minute. I said a lot just then in favor of the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime Pat Mahomes is an underdog, I'm always taking Pat Mahomes.
Right.
12-1-1 ATS, 11-3 straight up as an underdog. When he is getting points, you take Pat Mahomes. Until I see otherwise, the trend is always your friend. I got to follow my friend.
He's the new Brady. You're right when it comes to that. B-Mac, great job, man. We appreciate you. Can't wait for these games this weekend, and we look forward to our conversation next week with you, man. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, is he willing to do it? We'll tell you what we're talking about coming up as part of the Daily Download on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell on a Friday. Hope you're having a great day. Mike Bell, did you see Mike Tyson slap Jake Paul in the weigh-in? Did you see that?
Yeah, man, in case they were trying to, you know, get some a little bit more hype on this fight, and that's generally what happens. That's what the weigh-in is for, just to get those last-minute people to commit. But doesn't everybody have Netflix? You know, I was just telling Chris, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, like tonight. I mean, can we just go right to the fight? Do I even have to watch the undercard? So, you know, because in the old days, they drag it out, and eventually you'd pull the trigger, and you'd buy the fight, pay your $45, and now it's like $150, right, to get the fight.
It's true.
But, yeah, I mean, I was just talking to Mike Conti, our boss, and as Mike said, good phrase, morbid curiosity. You know, you and I love boxing, and we grew up in the golden age of boxing. And boxing is just, it is what it is these days. I think a lot of it is because, especially here in America, the HBO getting away. But I know Showtime does a nice job and DAZN and all. But, man, it's kind of funny that this is going to make more money than anything else in the boxing world probably the last 3 or 4 years.
Well, star power. And here's the deal. For those who don't necessarily care for Jake Paul, he has a huge audience. He's got a huge following. And everybody knows who Mike is. So, yeah, Tyson said, he stepped on my foot. And so he slapped him. And, you know, and then Jake Paul's like flexing. Yeah, I can take a slap from him. I don't know. Again, yeah, I have no idea where this is going. Yeah, you know, I don't know.
And again, but even if it's if the whole thing was contrived just to get more juice, okay, so be it. You know, I mean, this is one that I still have that, you know, like so many guys of our generation, a spot in my heart for Mike Tyson, who I just loved, and he was so badass. But, I mean, he's 58.
No.
And look, I know this guy, you know, Paul is what he is, but I just figured this thing, at the end of the day, we'll probably get some kind of like split decision and we'll both be like, what the hell? And 2 minute rounds? 2 minute rounds tonight.
Well, I'm not trying to kill Tyson. I mean, you know, they want to get it in and get it out.
I mean, 58. I mean, look, and you saw Tyson. He's cut from glass right now, man. I mean, like, I think if Tyson pees, great. I don't know how the rules will play in Texas, Carl. I think if Tyson pees in the cup melts. But I'd be like, we're all going to be pulling for him. I just saw Kyle Brand from Good Morning Football said, basically just echoing what you and I just said on Twitter. And I'm like, I hope I'm not going to be heartbroken and disappointed tonight.
Well, if there's some action, some good shots landed, and honestly, and nobody gets hurt, because this is an exhibition. I don't care if they're counting it on his record. It's BS. That, then I'll be okay.
This was supposed to be an exhibition.
It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, NFL Blitz is on the way. Also, guys, we're going to have a great conversation a little bit later on in the show with a friend of the show, Brandon Cristall in Denver. He's going to break down the Broncos as we've been trying to give you all the things this week when it comes to the Broncos. That is on the way. Let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
Well, let's start with the injuries. There are a lot of guys out. I'm not saying this is going to affect the game because we've had a bunch of guys out. But, Mike, Troy Anderson out. Knee will not play Sunday.
Can't stay healthy.
No, I'm with you on this. Charlie Warner, Taquan Graham, all these guys have been ruled out for Sunday. Dee Alford as well. Mike Hughes. So
Clark Phillips time.
Yeah, you have a variety of guys that are not going to play. But the guy that I brought up first, Troy Anderson, and the reason why is, guys, he showed us one game this year. The Saints game, the first matchup, he was so impactful. And then, Mike, we haven't heard from him since.
Yep. And, guys, this is a second-round pick. I mean, this gets us back to, and again, some of this preceded, you know, Fontenot becoming the GM, but it's got to be an impact pick. And, yes, we love his athleticism when he's on the field, but he's just not on the field enough. So, especially for a team which is really struggling to create some pass rush and has given up some points. Again, I know it's bend, don't break, and there's bigger pictures. You know, the big picture, it's not his responsibility necessarily to get the quarterback on the ground consistently. But, yeah, that's just tough. And you're valued by ability and availability. So, I hope this eventually stops. But doesn't it seem when a guy starts to miss games, it just seems to define his career?
Well, it does.
Early on, this is kind of what he is?
No, I agree. And again, we continue to talk about the speed and the sideline stuff. That's all fine and dandy when he's out there. And he's not out there enough. Not a shot at Troy. It's just what it is.
He's a great guy, but yeah. So what?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of injuries to overcome. Meanwhile, let's hear Kirk Cousins talk about this Denver pass rush he's going to face on Sunday.
They have a great pass rush, and you always need to be aware that while I'd love to take another hitch, use my eyes to move a defender, try to look for that big play, if the rush is closing in and if it's going to lead to a sack, ball's got to go. Ball's got to get out and get to somebody.
He's right. Do not hold on to it, Kirk. Either let it go or get down. Get down.
Get out of there.
Do not take a vicious sack.
Get out of there.
That might cost us.
By the way, how many Rocky references do we have? Throw in the damn towel. Again, get rid of it. Live to play another day. He's got to have better ball security. But, I mean, at this stage of his career, I mean, like he got thumped. You know, I mean, he didn't throw anybody under the bus, but his O-line did him no favors in that game in New Orleans.
Zach Robinson was talking about the Denver defense as well. This is our offensive coordinator.
Yeah, really, really solid defense at all three levels when you look at it. You know, Vance Joseph's been a great defensive coordinator for a long time. Shoot, I remember growing up in Colorado, remember him playing, you know, for the University of Colorado, and obviously we faced him a bunch when he was with Arizona, when we were with the Rams. So know the challenges that his defense, you know, schematically presents. And then you just look at the front, the way that those guys are playing. They play at a very high level across the board. There's really no weakness along the front. The second level of the defense is really solid. And then, you know, the corners and safeties are all really good. Obviously a really good player out there that they have at corner. So, in for a big challenge, got to have a great week of preparation, understanding, you know, how to try to attack the scheme, and then understanding that it's a player's game, and it's going to be a great challenge for the guys up front and really everybody across the board.
Yeah, he makes it sound daunting.
Because it is a little bit daunting.
That's right. Their defense is really good, and Zach's not lying to you. We've got a lot more to get to here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up in 3 minutes.
Is Kirby willing to pull Beck if he struggles?
Oof. Wow.
We'll talk about it coming up.
Oh, man.
But first, let's talk about the Hawks.
I will stick around for, Carl.
Thank you, Mike. Let's talk about the Hawks because they are in action tonight down here at State Farm Arena. Bottom line is, it's the Wizards. The Wizards have two wins. You know who they're against? The Atlanta Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Two dubs all season long. That's got to change tonight, and it looks like, again, don't want to get my, you know, horse before the cart or whatever, but horse before the cart. Trey's going to be back. It looks like, or at least it sounds like, Dre may be available. So you're getting some guys back. We just found out, Mike, that apparently Bogey and V. Krejci, a couple of other guys, have been assigned to the Skyhawks, which means they are on their way back. It may be another week before we see them, but they are going to be available down there to get some playing time in and get their legs underneath them.
Yeah, man, it'd be really key to get this win because then they go on this road trip. They go out west in Portland and Sacktown and the Bay Area and then back down to Chicago. So, yeah, it'd be nice to see these guys, you know, kick off the road trip, get the win against the Wizards because they really are an inferior opponent when everybody's playing to their level. That the Celtics game, as we said, talking to Andy and Randy at the handoff, you can't let everybody wants to buy into this because it's exciting. And all of a sudden now we realize that Dyson Daniels is more dynamic than we thought he is. You'll rehear that interview coming up in the six. And Reese Hoshea, we love his game. Jalen and Trey. There's a good young nucleus. Imagine, how about DeAndre Hunter hits the ground running, right? And be
I love
a,
it.
And be a, and again, we said we'll cap it at 15 points. 15 points, and don't be in one of those like 5 minute lulls where you can't hit anything, you know, which kills like a comeback. Let's hope that they take care of business because this team should. And if they don't, it's the same old Hawks. That's the thing. So many guys on the fence want to jump on board with this, Carl, but don't be the same old Hawks.
Well, it's a great point. This game on Saturday for both teams is big. And, of course, I'm talking about the Dawgs and the Vols. 7:30 Saturday night, Sanford Stadium, night game. It's got all the things. But if Carson Beck struggles again, and what I mean by this for Dawg fans, because some of you right now are losing your mind, what if he throws two picks in the first half? What if you're down and those picks come in the first half? Is Kirby Smart willing, and does he have the balls to pull him? Mike, I think if he struggles in that way, you owe it to your football team. Kirby was asked earlier this week. He said he has no intentions of doing that. I think he's got to think about it if Beck struggles in this game, if you're going to continue to try to have a chance to make the college football playoff. But will he?
Not in a million years, brother. He's going to ride or die with Carson Beck. I mean, JT Daniels got banged up in that Clemson game a couple of years ago. You know, and then certainly Stetson Bennett stepped in, and then Stetson Bennett didn't relinquish the job. But other than an injury to Beck, I just don't see it. I think there's been so many games this year where you should have already pulled it. That I think we've already passed that kind of line. And I don't even maybe we might not even ever know what Gunnar Stockton is. You know, I mean, I guess he's going to wait his turn until next year and battle everybody else. But I do think that Kirby is just never Carl. He's never going to do that. That's his guy. I just think he's shown so much patience when some really basic mistakes that weren't made last year have cropped up this year. So he hadn't pulled them by now. He's never going to.
12 picks so far for Carson Beck. I do not know. I'm just asking. Gunnar Stockton and Jaden Rashada are sitting there. They have the ability to get outside the pocket. They add another element to this offense. I do not know, Mike, what they've looked like in practice. Kirby does. Mm-hmm. But if Beck struggles, boy, it's going to get ugly.
Maybe we'll bring in Rashada for a fake punt.
No, don't start. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, coming up, we got an NFL blitz to talk about. Picks are on the way as well. Yeah, man, no man in the 3 o'clock hour. Stay there. It's Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.